ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Text number 63 of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called Conclusion, the Perfection of Renunciation. See, if you can't get a Bhagavad Gita at a Hare Krishna center, you can't get one anywhere. So these scriptures are very special. Recently, we were in the UK, and I met with one of the devotees there, who is a great pundit. He actually grew up in a family where they would speak Sanskrit in the house. So when I asked him, because he has extensive knowledge of Sanskrit, and I asked him about where he studied Sanskrit, and he said he never studied it, they just grew up speaking it, because his grandfather spoke it fluently, and that's the language they learned in the house, the second language. In any case, he's very much attached to the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Srila Prabhupada's books, and has studied deeply. He's also a curator of sorts, because he collects ancient scriptures. So some of the scriptures that he had there were handwritten, of course, Bhagavad Gitas and Srimad Bhagavatams. And he showed us how some of them are written in solid gold. The lettering is actually written in 24-karat gold so that it wouldn't corrode. And most of these scriptures were kept at that time on the altar and worshipped. Of course, they were much rarer than they are now. And one might then take for granted what we have now, because we have the technology through which we can print mass numbers of Bhagavad Gitas and so forth. But it's no less worshipable than it was at that time, when it was more obvious how rare and important each scripture was. It's simply the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers that it's available to everybody everywhere. Practically speaking, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the king of all scriptures, the fruit of all Vedic literature, now we go to houses, homes, even sometimes devotees will stop somebody in their car and they'll buy a set of Srimad Bhagavatams while the car is still running, and they'll put it in the back seat. This is never goes in vain, actually, because he was mentioning also how rapidly we lose scriptures in the world. Of course, anything is, and everything is lost in this world in the due course of time. Even Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the parampara has to be active. And that is because in time the message becomes distorted. Not only that, the scriptures, physical scriptures, become lost. That's why actually in the early days, there were no physical scriptures. People would memorize passages or whole Vedas, sometimes more than one Veda. If you know anybody named Trivedi, probably somewhere in his family, somebody memorized three parts of the Vedas from heart. And it was a different era, of course. There were not as many distractions as there are now. And we even find some people, elderly people now, or just at the, you know, in, maybe 20, 30 years ago, most of them have died, but they came from families where people memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita. It was natural. And they memorized most of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or all of it. Seems fantastical now, but it was the norm at a certain time. Also, he mentioned that when there were Mughal invasions, that these armies would plunder the scriptures, which were kept in the temples, and they'd burn them. And their saying was that they would get heat at night, because it was freezing cold there, you know how cold Vrindavan can get. And in the morning they would be wealthy, because all the gold would melt from the painstaking writing that was on the scriptures, and they'd have just a big pool of 24-karat gold. And tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of scriptures were stolen, burned, and so forth. So there's always a need in human society to bring forth the teachings of Lord Krishna amidst such an onslaught of distractions and also outright campaigns against Krishna consciousness in the world. Not the least of which is to bring the scriptures to the world so that they can be available everywhere. And this is somehow or other, we're in a time and era when the printing press has recently, within the last few hundred years, been invented. And now we have lots and lots of books. So I'm just, when I saw us passing out books to everybody, thinking that we may think, oh, it's just Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing just about it. There's nothing just about Srimad Bhagavatam and so forth. And one of the ways in which one can advance in Krishna consciousness is remembering how sacred are these scriptures, and offering respects to them. The Nectar Devotion, it is written that those who worship the Vaishnava scriptures in their homes are themselves worshipped by the demigods, who observe that this is actually a civilized home, a place where there's no recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita is a dry desert. Wow. So this is, Krishna consciousness movement is meant for broadcasting the sound vibration of these very important scriptures and the holy name, which is the essence of everything. Text number 63. Iti te jnanam akhyatam kuyad kuyataram maya mimrishaitadasheshena dittechasi tatakuru. Someone, okay. Iti, thus, te, unto you, jnanam, knowledge, akhyatam, described, kuyat, then confidential, kuyataram, still more confidential, maya, by me, vimrishya, deliberating, etat, on this, asheshena, fully, yata, as, ichasi, you like, tata, that, kuru, perform. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Hear the words, yateshasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. By what can one come to agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul? Correct. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instructions come also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Iti guyatamam, iti jnanam akhyatam kuyat guyataram maya vimrishaita rasheshena yatechasi tatakuru. Nectarian words from the lotus mouth of Sri Krishna. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. So the word deliberate has the word libra in it. It's a Latin word. And it's, libra means the scales. When you see the sign of Libra, there's a balance of pan scales. and you have to weigh things out to see what's most important. And this is called deliberation. Now, if you look at the word deliberate, it is the same as the word deliberate. We just pronounce them differently. And in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Siddhanta Bolyana Chitkarlas, Krishna Lage Ashudridumanash. Kaviraj Goswami says, Siddhanta Bula Chite Nakara Alash. Don't be lazy about deliberation. Alash means to not do something that you can do. And Siddhanta, it means to understand, to pinpoint accuracy, a philosophy that you're studying. And you have to study it from all sides, or at least from both sides. Just like with an axe, when you're sharpening the axe or the blade of any cutting object, you have to hit both sides for it to get very sharp at the point. And you'll find that Srila Vyasadeva, when he puts forward the Vedanta Sutra as an example, this is typical of the writing of the acharyas, that he will give the thesis, and then he gives the antithesis, what's called the Purvapaksha. It means the argument against what he has just said. And then he gives the synthesis, which means to come to a clear understanding of why what he said was true in the beginning and why the argument against it is false. And in this kind of deliberate philosophical exercise, Siddhanta Bolya Chita Nakara Alash Iha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudridmanash. So Sudridmanash, Bengali, means that the mind becomes very determined because you've considered everything very carefully and you know what the goal is and you also understand the process. So in this beautiful verse, Krishna is saying that I've given you instruction, Arjuna. Yatechasi tata kuru. Now you may do as you wish. Okay. So Krishna is not a fanatic. He's not a religious fanatic. He doesn't condemn anybody, but he points out how we may conduct ourselves, those living entities, all of us have free will, and how to use it in such a way that we can be benefited. And he also informs us the ways Jaganya Guna Vrittista, he talks about the various modes of Matate, Urdvam Gachati Sattvasta, Madhyam Tishtanti Rajasa, Jaganya Guna Vrittista, Adoga Chanti Tamasa. So when he's talking, for instance, about the modes of material nature, he gives a summary. He said, if you're situated in the mode of goodness, you're going to go upwards. If you're in Rajas, in the middle mode, you're going to stay in the center. And if you touch the mode of ignorance, then he says Jaganya is abominable and you'll be pulled down. And he gives all kinds of very practical information within the Bhagavad Gita. For instance, he says Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Guna Sangosya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. That whatever you have now, whether it's good or bad, whatever body you have now, whether it's good or bad, has come because of your Sangha. You've associated in various ways in the past, and this because of you acquiring modes of nature, these three modes of material nature, according to your association, you've attained these particular destinations. So if anyone reads the Bhagavad Gita all the way through, he or she will be fortified, informed how to work in the world so that he or she can elevate himself or herself. And of course, the ultimate instruction that Krishna gives is surrender to me. He's just about to say that in a couple more verses, but it's also voluntary. And this is something that Krishna doesn't impose on anyone. In the Gita, he says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshos dinapriya. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. Samoham means I'm equal to everyone. No one is particularly my friend or my enemy. I treat everyone equally, and as they approach me, I reward them accordingly. Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers to Srinadeva that Krishna is just like a desire tree. And when you sit under a desire tree, it will fulfill any desire you want. But the big question right now is, what do you want? In fact, in my corporate talks, I often have people do a guided meditation where they come to a desire tree and they're sitting underneath it. They know full well what it means, because I explained it to them, that the tree is going to fulfill any desire that you have. Their eyes are closed, and I say, so now what do you want? And I watch a wave go through the crowd. It's visceral, a reaction. And many times when they open their eyes, most people say, I was shocked because I realized I don't know what I want. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said by Shukadeva Goswami, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama utharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That whatever you want, if you don't have any material desires, or you have all material desires, that's all you have, or you just want liberation, or you're a devotee, you should still approach Krishna. So in the verse I quoted, Samoham sarva bhuteshu nami dveshasti napriya. This, according to our acharyas, applies to Krishna as Paramatma, who is referred to here, because he's acting really as an order supplier for the living entity, who's asking for all kinds of material things. Said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, Asau gunamayer bhaver bhuta sukshmindriyatmabhi sva nirmiteshu nirvishto bhunte bhuteshu tad gunan. That when the creation starts, the Lord, as the Supersoul, Paramatma, enters within the heart of every living entity simply to facilitate the desires of the living entity. And he follows that living entity anywhere that he may go. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. He doesn't try to influence one way or the other, but fulfills the desire of the living entity according to his nature. However, the second half of the verse, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham, is about Bhagavan or Krishna. He interacts with us differently. When one surrenders to Krishna, for instance, when Bibhishan in the Ramayana surrenders to Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra says, anyone who says, I surrender to you, even one time, from that day forward, I become the protector of that person, and I never forget him. And Krishna extends himself towards anyone who even a little bit decides that I'm going to surrender to Krishna, even if they do it just once. In fact, our acharyas tell us that those who even say Hare Krishna once, can everyone say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna!
They're not ordinary people there. They're special, because they can say Hare Krishna. Aho bhatashwa pachato garyanya jiva gre vartate nama tubhyam te pusta paste juhuvu sasna arya brahmanachu nama granante ete. This is Devahuti. She's saying how wonderful it is if someone can say your name, Krishna. Then that person actually is considered to have already performed all Vedic sacrifices in previous life. They've gone to all holy places. And that's just if they say it once with the tip of their tongue. So when somebody has a little intention in their heart to surrender to Krishna, Krishna takes it and he extends himself more than a living entity could imagine. Therefore, one of the names of Krishna is Vanjatita. Vancha, of course, means vancha means desire, and atita means beyond. So he fulfills the desire of the living entity more than he could actually imagine himself or even desire for himself. And even if someone who decides to surrender to Krishna then does so haltingly, he reconsiders, or he has material desires that come up, and as he's worshiping Krishna, he's asking Krishna for material things. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, it says, Satyam dishati artito artito nrinam, naivartito yat naim artito yata, swayam vidate. That Krishna, hearing that this person, the devotee, is asking for material benedictions more and more, says, yes, I'll give him the material benedictions. Icha pitanam nija padapalavam. But I'll reward him in such a way that I'll cover his material desire and he won't want it anymore. In other words, I'll give you what you want, but you're not going to like it anymore after I give it to you the way I give it to you. And instead, you're going to take shelter of my lotus feet. And this is paraphrased in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this thought of Krishna from the verse. And Kaviraj Goswami explains that Krishna is saying, well, this person has surrendered to me, and now he's asking for material benedictions. He may be a fool, because he's attempting to drink poison, even though I've given him nectar, but now he's choosing poison. But Krishna says, I'm not a fool. Therefore, he says, yes, I will fulfill his desire, but then he won't want it anymore. So Krishna is the most expert. And therefore, this conclusion that Krishna gives here, first of all, that we have heard his instructions, and now you have free will to choose. And then he'll say in the next few verses, sarva dharman paritya mame kam sharanam braja ahang tvang sarva pape bhyo mokshay shami masujaha. Now my advice really is just surrender unto me. So it's an exciting realm that we're in. We're in the middle of the universe. Shankaranand Prabhu was pointing out to me today that the demigods only have to work 2 hours a day. How many hours do you all have to work? More than two. And in the lower planetary system, like Bilvaswarga, which is described in the fifth canto, it's way too, actually it's more heavenly in the lower subterranean hellish planets. It's better than heaven. But it's so good that you completely forget about God, because that's the desire of some living entities. But those who are fortunate to be in the middle planetary system, here in the Earth planet, you kind of see a little bit of everything. And also, as a human beings have their frailties, but the point is, we're so close to Krishna. In fact, he says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the species, I like the humans the best. Yeah, as humans especially are able to take to the bhakti process. Because they're designed for that, to actually inquire about the Supreme. We have a lot of emotions, yes? Come on, say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not just me. And there's a way in which that matches up really well with bhakti. So an ideal situation here, a human being, earthly planet, and also access to this information that's been passed down from Krishna's lotus mouth. The Bhagavad Gita has not been touched, by the way. There are many interpolations in various scriptures, like the Mahabharata has been interpolated, but the Bhagavad Gita has never been touched because the acharyas are watching over it too carefully. This section of the Mahabharata, it's the same, always the same. All acharyas write commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. It's perfectly in order. It's directly what Krishna said. And Srimad Bhagavatam is similar. So we have these things, and this is the way in which one can make a perfect solution, is just to sign up for that surrender. And there's a little table about this big, and they have little forms you can fill out. There's just one box to check off, and it says, I agree to surrender to Krishna. And if you want to, you can get a number two pencil, or you can use pen, and you just make a check mark and put your name on that. And that's it. Then this is the most intelligent act the living entity can make after being entangled in the material world after millions of years. And Krishna is fully offering it here. He says, you do what you want, but I advise you surrender to me. So the most intelligent people surrender. And those who do surrender then feel so excited about it that they see that their occupation in life should be to convince other people that it's a good idea. And that's the greatest kindness one can do, is to give people enough of this information so that they'll make their own choice that I will surrender to Krishna. So those are a few remarks. I'm not sure how much time we have, but I have a feeling that I already used it all up.
Okay.
We'll take a few questions. Any question you have, please. Oh, yes, please.
We actually hand the mic to children first.
Okay.
Have them share what they learned.
Yes.
After that, we have the question.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So today I learned that Krishna is like a desire tree. So whatever we want, Krishna will give it to us. But the real thing is we should be asking ourselves is what do we want?
Thank you.
I learned that humans are Krishna's favorite children because of our bhakti for him. So in this rare human life, I learned that we should make the most of it and serve Krishna.
Yeah.
I learned that when a devotee, so Krishna says that when a devotee asks for something for material desires, I'll give him what he wants, but in a way that he will not like it, he will take shelter of Krishna.
Yes, thank you. Can I just insert a small story to follow up with that observation you made? By the way, all three of them have been so nice. Giriraj Maharaj told us the story. I think it's recorded also, so you can listen to it for yourself. When he was in Bombay, he was the temple president there, and there was a young man who was helping to translate Prabhupada's books into Marathi. And the young man's father would come along with him, with his son, to meet with Prabhupada frequently because he had questions about the translation and the process. And the young man's father had a habit of smoking. He was addicted to smoking. And he had asked for Prabhupada's mercy. So after some time, he came back and Prabhupada asked him, so how was it going with the habit? And he said, oh, I'm so ashamed. I'm still smoking. He said, I need you, please give me special mercy. And Prabhupada said, yes. I can ask Krishna to give you special mercy, but what it means is Krishna will make you so miserable that you'll be forced to give it up. So you can either do it voluntarily, or you can ask for Krishna's special mercy. What would you like? And Giriraj Maharaj said, he said, oh, no, Prabhupada. I'll do it myself. So this is intelligence to decide preemptively that I'll surrender, knowing what's coming. And this is what it means in the verse about deliberation. Because one of the meanings of the word deliberate is to anticipate consequences. And if you use the human intelligence to anticipate consequences, you'd be a lot more refined in the way that I will be, a lot more refined in the way I move in the world. Yes, more kids, please.
So I learned the ultimate instruction that Krishna gives is to surrender onto him, but he doesn't force it on anyone.
That's a good point. Thanks for making that.
I learned the main lesson from Bhagavad Gita is to surrender unto Krishna.
Does that sound like a good idea to you? Just say yes. Say yes. Okay.
One should follow and reach and act according to the order of the super soul. And I also learned the meaning of root perform.
Yeah, very good points. We should act according to the instruction of the super soul.
I learned that the person who is in Mahabhuta condition is joyful, he never laments, nor he desires anything. This is due to the confidential knowledge.
Do you feel like that? Are you always joyful? Yeah, you look like that. Okay.
I learned that even if you say Hare Krishna once, it's equal to going to all the holy places, and that's only saying it once. If you say it more than that, it'll be easier to go back to him.
Yeah.
See, this is a transcendental accountant. Transcendental mathematics. It's also called loba, greed, spiritual greed.
Is not a tyrant or a despot. He simply gives us the best option and then lets us make our own choice on what we want to do.
What an excellent point.
And in the end, he knows that eventually we will come to our senses and make the option that we are given unto him.
Thank you very much. Well said, well said.
Yeah, we have kids here.
And learn that if you surrender to Krishna once, then Krishna will protect you during the day.
Sakradeva Prapano, yes. This is a famous verse. It's given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. It's from the Ramayana. Sakradeva Prapano, yes. He says, if you surrender one, if you say one time, I surrender unto you, Krishna takes it seriously. Yes. Go ahead. It can be anything, anything you heard, any impression. Call a friend.
Not every kid has.
No, he internalizes. This happened in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela when the son of Shivananda Sen, who ended up being called Kavi Karnapur, his name was Puridas when he was a child. And he'd meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he sucked on his toe once. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'd say, chant the holy names, and Puridas wouldn't say anything. And Mahaprabhu said, I've come to this world to teach chanting Hare Krishna all over the world, but the son of Shivananda Sen, he won't chant. So how is my mission going to spread? And then Srupa Damodar said, I think I understand the intention of the child. And he said, recite Puridas. He was just a little child. And then he recited a self-composed, most beautiful Sanskrit verse, which says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is decoration of like an Indranila gem that is worn on the beautiful ears of the gopis. And then everyone was astounded. And he became the great Kavi Karnapur. So silence in a child is, especially one like this, means that something deep is happening. Hare Krishna. Don't mind.
We'll come back to you. We have bills here.
I want to.
Here we go.
Oh, there are we bills there.
Think about it.
Well, he
coming
didn't go.
Back.
Did he?
It's okay. Coming back. Okay. I want to make 2 points. One was many years ago, 5-6 years ago, I was desperately looking for verses that said free will. That topic is a very popular topic in this congregation, and I asked the question as the second thing. And one verse we read today, you know, is a very famous one. And I was looking for, are there more, are there more? And I ended up on a business trip to Japan, and some person who doesn't come to that office came to that office, saw my mala, he says, there's a program tonight, you want to go? And I go and I found Vaisheshika Prabhu in the room. And the verse he chose that day was the last verse in third chapter that uses the word deliberate, which is again, you know, that you are given a choice and you make the decision. The question that comes in this congregation a lot is the famous chicken and egg question, which is, in my material activity, I'm struggling because of I did something wrong, or this is the cause, and then in future I'm going to enjoy because this is the suffering part. And in the spiritual activity, if I'm coming here, is that because of my past karma? Is that because somebody's mercy they brought me in?
Okay, thank you. Should I answer that?
Please, those questions come a lot here. That Mataji who asked the question is not here today, but we will communicate. I'm recording it. She'll hear the answer.
Okay. Well, it's a very important question, and it has to do with the fact that we have a dual existence. We do have an aspect to us that just and activities that are based on our past activities. This is what is called our vyavaharika existence. We're born into the world with a certain proclivities and a set of karmas that are very complex. But when one takes to the process of devotional service, this karma is transferred by Krishna. And there are many instructions about this in the Bhagavad Gita and also the Srimad Bhagavatam about how a devotee who surrenders to Krishna is no longer subject to the same karma that an ordinary person is. So I'll give you a couple of examples. One of them is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the famous verse from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, 8th verse, in which Brahma says, Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana eva makritam vipakam ridvagva purvir viridam namaste jiveta yo mukti padesadaya pak. This verse says that a devotee has the attitude that whatever is coming to me, whatever reactions are coming to me, were caused by myself because of my involvement in the material world, and he takes it as Krishna's a special mercy on him because his karma is being gradually taken away by Krishna's mercy. It's also, the acharyas add, that a devotee considers that whatever kind of reaction I get is much less than I deserve. And whatever good things come, it's way more than I deserve. So Krishna's very kind. If a person tolerates whatever kind of reactions are coming, that person, Sadayabhak, becomes eligible to inherit the kingdom of God. In the purport, Sridhar Swami comments that the main business of the son of a rich man is what?
Stay alive.
And the main business of a devotee is to somehow or other stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Because if you stay alive, then you'll inherit the kingdom of God. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes on to say that what after a devotee surrenders, it is understood that he's not getting sinful reactions like anyone else. And there's multiple examples of this. For instance, in the opening of the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu summary, you'll find that Rupa Goswami makes the case that as soon as you take the devotional service, there are six characteristics that you'll see unfolding in your life. The first is that you become free from material distress. And the reason that you become free from material distress is because when you take the devotional service, your karma is eradicated. And he quotes from the Padma Purana, which says, Aprarabdha palam papam kritam kutam palomukam krameinaiva priliyante Vishnu pakti ratatmanam. Those who are engaged in service to Lord Vishnu are having their karma destroyed. And that karma, kramaniya, means step by step it's destroyed. Jiva Goswami says it's just like if you have a stack of 10,000 lotus petals, and then you take a long, long needle, like you're stringing a garland, and you push it through. It appears that it's going through one at a time, but actually it's simultaneously going through all of them. He said your karma is destroyed like that. So there are other verses. For instance, in the Brahma Samhita, Yastundra gopa matavendra maho sakarma bandan rupa palabhajana matanoti karmani nirdahati kintu chapakti bhajam govindamari purushanta mahambhajami. Brahma is saying everybody's getting their karma from Brahma down to the Indragopa germ, tiny little insect, except for somebody who's taken to bhakti bhajan. If you're engaged in bhakti, then your karma is being destroyed or is destroyed because it's so auspicious taking to the process of devotional service. It's confirmed also, Narada Muni says in the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when a person takes to devotional service, even if he falls down, he doesn't experience material existence like another person does. So that's established. And therefore, continuing with the commentary from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it may appear, do you have a 10th canto, 14th chapter? If you give me that, I'll read you this section of the purport. You have it. This is the whole purport?
No. Those are the verses you quote frequently.
Okay. Thank you. There's a lot. Okay.
I can look it up if you tell me what.
Yeah, the purport.
The whole thing, purport's here. So I'll just read you the purport because it's a masterpiece and it'll explain a lot, okay? May I?
Yes.
Three people said yes. Everyone else?
Yes.
There's a waiting room out there. You can come back after. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. It's going to get heavier. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm not convinced at all.
Yes!
Okay, you're all listening?
Yes!
The word susamikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Can talk before or after, but not during this purport. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind, a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of the world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate the remaining enjoying spirit. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to God. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishments and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words, and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardships a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words, Dayabak. By which words?
Dayabak.
Last sentence. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the supreme pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. We have till 8, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in this purport that you explained that when a person fully surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna arranges necessary purification. So sometimes it may happen that we may think that, oh, I'm not fully surrendered to Krishna. So do I need to adopt some other means and ways to eradicate my sinful reactions, which I might knowingly or unknowingly have committed in the past?
No. Devotional service is sufficient for all circumstances because it is all-encompassing. And this is brought up in the beginning of Rupa Goswami's teachings of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he says that bhakti, quotes from the Shastra, is like a fire, forest fire, and it burns everything, especially the snakes. They can't get away from the fire, and those are compared to the sinful reactions. And it's stressed again and again that nothing else is necessary except for bhakti in order to eradicate sinful reactions in one's life. So there are interim stages, however, that are mentioned in the Shastra that we should be aware of, because even as we take to devotional service, we may notice that, as the purport pointed out, there may be last vestiges of connection to the material world or desire to enjoy the world. Krishna himself mentions this in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he says jata shrata mat katasu nirvina sarva karmasu veda dukha makam kamam pratyagi panishvara tato bajeta mam prita shraddha lur drida nishchaya jushamanam tatam kamam dukho darkam jagadayam. This is a verse spoken by Krishna, and he says that one may have awakened his desire to hear Krishna katha. Jata means it's awakened. Jata shraddha is faith in Krishna katha, that this will solve all problems, is already there. Jata shraddha makatasu nirvina sarvakam, he is disgusted with material life. Veda dukat makam kamams, he knows, Veda, that all kinds of material activities lead just to misery. Pratyagya pyanishvara, that means that, but still he can't do it. He doesn't have the power to do it yet. So then Krishna gives this advice, tato bhajeta mam prita, you're very dear to me because you're trying, you're going on with the process. Shraddha lur drida nishchaya, keep firm faith in the process, he says, continue. Jushamanam shtatang kamams, and then he says, dukho darkam stigaran. Garan means you can feel a little bit disappointed, like disgusted, Garayan means, but not too much. Because then the acharyas who comment on this said you can be tricked by Maya to give up the process. So no one can claim to be permanently unqualified, because the process is way more powerful than sinful reactions, and Krishna is very helpful. If you want to read an encouraging purport in this regard, you can read from the Light of the Bhagavat and plate number, what is it? Do you have that in your book?
I already have this word.
Okay, Light of the Bhagavat, I think it's plate 44. But in that, it's described in the teachings of Shukadeva Goswami from the autumn season, how once one started the process of devotional service, even if somebody, Prabhupada writes in his purport, even if someone changes their mind, they don't want it anymore, he said they'll still be forcibly dragged because the process is so powerful. And of course, Narada Muni says, Tyaktva sudharmam chananam bhujam harir bhajana pakvota patet tato yadi yatra kva babajama buddha mushikim kovarta apto bhajatam sudharmata. He says, if you take to the process fully, but you weren't ready for it, you were apakva, you weren't ripe, and your intention was, I'm going to surrender, and you jump for the bar, but you miss it. He says, no harm. That's counted, that you jump for it and you missed. And he says, but if you do your material dharmas perfectly, but you don't jump for devotional service, you don't try to surrender, he said, what did you gain, even if you do everything perfectly? Did I make enough of a case, or should I keep going? I mean, everything's there in bhakti. This is very strongly presented by the acharyas. I mean, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashavairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. If you do direct devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, then naturally you get Jnana Vairagya, which are Tashradhana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyantyatmani Chatmanam Bhaktya Shudra Grihitaya. These fortify the person that they can move forward in bhakti. Nothing else is needed except more bhakti. Of course, Krishna describes in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that you should act according to your adhikari. He says, sve sve adhikariya nisha saguna parikirtita viparya tu dosha syad ubayor esha nishaya, that a person should know what their adhikari is. And in that section he's describing some people who hate the world and are really, really disgusted by it should take to jnana. Those who love the world and they can't give it up, they should take to karma. But those who are neither too disgusted nor too much in love with the world, they can take to bhakti. So he gives some kind of external circumstance, but the preponderance of all evidence from Krishna and everywhere in the Shastra is everything comes from bhakti. And if you take to that direct process, then you come to the result that you're looking for. And even if you miss, Krishna will help you out. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate manam.
Nacharyar marman, nacharyar marman, nacharyar marman, hey!
Hey, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.